Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. You better not try stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Guys Without Jobs. We have been gone for quite a while, but we are back. Lonnie, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, John. It's been too long. Been way too long.
I caught you right as you were about to take a drink of whatever that is.
No. This is actually, I'm not going to say what it is yet, but hi, everybody, by the way. Hi, John. But this is actually one of my little topics today.
That's exciting.
Trying to get healthy, dude. I've been getting healthy for quite a while now. So I don't know if you knew this or not, but when I was in Cincinnati, I had already lost probably about 25 pounds.
And kidding. That's great.
I know it's hard to imagine that because I'm still fat. You're like, the fat guy lost weight, but I actually did. I've lost a pretty good bit of weight and it's still coming off. So
that's awesome, man. I was going to say, I noticed like today, like you look really good. You look like you've lost a little bit of weight.
Yeah. And I've been getting outside more and getting the sunshine and, you know, being a little more active and stuff. So
well, yeah, you guys have been traveling like crazy, haven't you?
Yeah. And then the cool thing is when we travel, a lot of times we're doing a lot of walking around and exploring and, you know, just getting outside, you know? So, I've been living a lot healthier, and this is my lunch right now, smoothie thing. So, nice. And I know you've been on kind of the same path too, as far as health and fitness and stuff goes.
Yeah, I was really good. Well, I wouldn't say fitness so much. I was doing really good leading up to the rally. I don't know, I've kind of fallen off a little bit since then, but yeah, I need to get back on track, eating right and losing weight because I got plenty to lose.
You're not near as big as me though. And, you're a lot younger, which means you can actually accomplish that probably a little easier. So it's hard, dude, when you get past 40, everything is just more difficult. Anyway,
I've got that coming up. It's in the near future.
You're 35 or six?
Six. 36.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I like your room.
So thank you, man. Yeah. This is the first time I've recorded at the new shop and this is like my little office. It's actually a really small room. This thing is like, I don't know, maybe 8 foot long by only like 6 foot deep. It's a really small room, but I've got three bay windows, like, you know, big windows right here. So I like having all the natural light and stuff and want to put up a little like bird feeder or something, but I don't spend a ton of time in here. Just usually when I'm editing video.
That's so nice to have just a dedicated space just for that.
Yeah, for sure. And the thought process was like, if we're doing the podcast or I'm, you know, going live with somebody, like I've got this room for that. You're not seeing all my death pile and all the crap behind me.
Yeah, because, like, otherwise, you end up with this. Like, I have this lighting thing with a bunch of crap on top. Candace has a bunch of crap on her desk right now. There's boxes of shit, you know? I definitely envy your little workspace there. And I like your – I see you do have the first edition mug, the orange one.
Yep.
You have all the mugs, but the orange one, that's the rare one.
Yeah, I got all three mugs, and then I've got some other mugs, like Cincinnati Reds, one's from Record Roundtable, my friend's podcast. Mm-hmm. RK Treasure Center just sent me a mug. Shout out to Roy.
Yeah, Roy's a cool dude.
Commonwealth Picker. Yeah, Roy's awesome. I really like Roy.
Yeah, he's real down-to-earth, man. Real down-to-earth guy. Real guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And his wife, too. I wouldn't mention his wife, but I forget her name at the moment. So.
Kim, I'm almost positive. Yeah.
No, I know it. Yeah, that is it. So it was cool really to meet them at the rally too.
Yeah, when you came to Cincinnati, you didn't even come to my place. You didn't go see the new show.
No, I wanted to. Next time I will.
Yeah. You were too busy, you know, flying around in Teslas with Ryan and all them.
No, well, I was also at the venue of the hotel, you know, the hotel where the thing was being hosted too, in fairness.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they're like, I was where the thing was at. And I noticed you also have your little award from Phoenix Resale.
Yeah, I guess we should do like a little tour. So I've got my Funko Pop up top here that was given to me by Brainstorm Rodeo. That was that mm-hmm. prank video that was just crazy. Yeah, we've got the award from Phoenix Resale. We've got some Cincinnati Red stuff. We've got a Dave Grohl Jesus candle that my sister-in-law gave me. I think that's really cool. I have a signed picture of Casey Kasem. I got a bunch of random stuff up there.
Where did you find that? Or where did you
I got
that?
It in like my Look What I Found days. I think somebody brought it in to sell, and I was like, I just want to buy this from you because I love Casey Kasem. I'm always listening to that American Top 40 like replays, yeah. You know, from the 80s. So I've had it for a while now.
Dude, I used to record that show when I was a kid, and then I would like take the tapes, and like if I had to go cut grass or something, I would put them in my big old bulky Walkman that I would put on my hip. Yeah, I'd be out there cutting grass to the hits, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love Casey.
That always brings back. I love listening to shows like that because it always brings back memories. Whenever I first heard the song, or one of the times I heard the song, and it takes me. That's the beautiful thing about music. It takes you back to that. You can almost smell and see and experience things again just by hearing a song. So.
Yeah,
kind of
for sure.
Like that.
I like all the little like tidbits he puts in too. Like he'll tell stories mm-hmm. about songs and the bands, and like he goes really in depth, or did go really in depth. You know, rest in peace, Casey. But yeah, I love listening to those.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, what have you been up to the past?
I've been up to a lot. I've been trying to get this place up and running. I've done a lot. I got my sign up front. I put a picture on that on my Instagram. It says Landon Trading Post. Landon's where I'm located. And it was actually a lot harder than I thought it was going to be because I reached out to the sign company and they're like, yeah, you got to get a permit.
Oh, God.
You know, from like the township or whatever. So I go to get the permit and they're like, wait, you want to do what now? So they told me there's like, well, you're zoned for just for office.
Yeah,
use.
I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. I knew it.
Yeah. So they came out. The guy was really, really nice. He's like, so do you want to have like store hours? And I'm like, no, not at all. I was like, I want to do one sale a month. I said, I'm going to put appointment only even on the sign so that, you know, I don't have a bunch of random people coming in. He was like, that's totally fine. He's like, as long as you don't have regular retail hours, we're good. So they let me put my sign up. All good. I had my first sale. It was great. And yeah, so far so good. He said, if your neighbors start complaining, because I got businesses on both sides of me, that was my gripe. I was like, you can call this an office, but look, these are all businesses here. Like, that's what it is. He's like, if anybody complains, I'll come to you first before, you know, I shut anything down or whatever. So, yeah, super nice guy. So far, so good. Knock on wood. Hey, look, Lonnie's got the picture. if you guys are watching the video version of this, that's me in front of the sign.
Yeah, that's John. He's got his arms crossed, looking like a badass. Look at that. that's like the reality show pose, right? Like,
yeah, that's a little picture trick. If you just, you know, fold your arms and push up your biceps, you look like you're jacked. Even
you did look jacked in that photo. You look like you've got some forearms going on too, man.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah, it's just a camera angle trick.
Oh, trust me, fat people know about camera angles. I already knew that. Nothing. I don't know. Hey, you're drinking out of a Tervis cup.
I am. Yeah, this is a Bowling Green Tervis cup. This is where Whitney went to school.
Yeah, we bought a couple of Tervis cups this past weekend, and the only reason I knew about them was from watching one of your videos a long time ago.
Oh yeah, they're great little cups.
Y'all bought Tervis cups, but you were keeping them or something. So we actually bought some for resale.
Nice.
They have like they're all themed. Like that one's Bowling Green. We got one that was like. Had John Deere on it, you know, and John mm-hmm. Deere patch
yeah.
or whatever. So, yeah. But yeah, what were
I would normally
about?
Be drinking the bourbon when we do the show, but it is 2:40 in the afternoon, so I think it might be a little bit early to be hitting the bourbon.
Yeah, it might totally change the dynamic of the show because usually
I know. Yeah, I normally I'm fumbling my words most of the time. I'm sober, and maybe it'll be worse. I don't know.
And you don't want to get you don't want to get a DWI on the way from your office to your house.
No, I don't. I'm trying to be good here. So have you guys been doing a lot of sourcing when you're doing your traveling? Because you've been traveling like crazy. I've been following your channel.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a lot of traveling.
In the past, I'm looking at the calendar because we keep track of our listings and stuff still. And we were gone this month. We were gone 10 days. Last month, we were gone, I think, a little more than that because we had the reseller rally, and then we also took a nine-day trip. So each of the past couple of months, we've been out of town for it, probably on average 2 weeks of each of the past 2 months.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. But you guys have been having fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changing things up because you know that I've been knee-deep in eBay and YouTube for probably 3 years now, just like really hardcore. And it's like, what do you do for a living? I sell on eBay. What do you do? What's your hobbies? Talking about eBay on YouTube. Right. You know, it's like everything revolves around that. Never get away from it. So this is like something different for us, trying to become a little more well-rounded person again.
Yep.
And enjoying life a little more, and you know, shift. Not that I don't enjoy reselling, because I kind of sort of do sometimes. but just trying to kind of separate work and fun, and then figuring out how much fun we can have, and figuring out the finances and you know, all that kind of stuff, because like we are out a lot.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing. Like when you work for yourself, nobody's gonna stop you from working, you know what I mean? Like you can just work 24 hours a day if you're capable, or if you want to do it, like you can constantly go. And I think you did that for a long time. So finding that balance is really important.
There's sometimes you need to do it, I think, just to kind of get, like, if you're in a slump on the selling side and you're like, all right, screw it, I'm going hard this month, you know? And like, there's something to be said for that, to reinvigorate the business. But if it just keeps going on and on and on, then other things start to suffer.
Yeah, for sure.
Now we're probably traveling a bit too much, but I do have some plans. The YouTube channel is okay on as far as that goes, but I'm probably not doing a very good job of it so far, and I have some other ideas, stuff we're gonna try.
Talking about the Getaway Gang channel?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys have only been doing that what now, like 3 months, three months, you've been kind of heavy doing it. So you'll figure it out, just like your reselling channel. Like whenever somebody starts a channel, they start making videos, they don't fully know what it's going to look like a year down the road, 2 years down the road. So you guys will figure that out as you go.
Yeah. It's been fun though, doing something different. And actually I've had a lot of time on these camping trips. Yeah, we do a lot of stuff, but we also have stretches of time where we're not doing anything. Yeah. And I couldn't get to the shed to go work if I wanted to, because we're not there. And during some of those times are when I just sit down, look into the distance and have time to think, you know, or walking or whatever, and have time to think, have quiet. You can actually like not get interrupted by things that are going on and whatnot. So it's been healthy. We're definitely trying to figure some things out though.
How's the day-to-day? How's the day-to-day in the shed for you guys? Is it still good? I mean, this is like, gosh, you guys are 6 months in that Candace left her job and you guys have been doing this. So everything's still going good?
Yeah, we've got a good flow going. We're putting up good numbers listing. Now, I think last time we talked, or maybe the time before that, I was talking about how, like, okay, when I was doing daily videos and I was doing the shout outs, you know, thank you, Bob, thank you, Mary, blah, blah, blah. That definitely encouraged people to buy more. No doubt about that. So when I stopped doing the daily videos, those viewer sales fell off a lot, like fast, like overnight. I was, for like a year, I was listing hard, and I could never get my listings up to over 500 listings.
It's because you sold so much. Like, it would just sell as soon as you listed it, yeah.
Right, and people, like, sometimes people would look at my store and like, dude, you're a full-time reseller, you don't even have 500 items. Like, yeah, okay, but look at the solds.
Right, that'll get, if you have a million active listings, that doesn't matter. I hear that so much, like, people, you know, judging stores or resellers based on how many active listings they have.
Which is actually kind of fair, and I understand skepticism, because there's a lot of fraudulent activity on YouTube and across all genres. And there's a lot of people that are that claim to be resellers that aren't really, or maybe their hobby or whatever, you know. So I understand the skepticism. There's a lot of people trying to make money off of this and that. So I think a healthy amount of skepticism is a good idea. But anyway, the result of not doing those daily videos, inventory growing, the inventory is growing, listed inventory, the sell-through falling at the same time. However, here recently, we got up to around 1,200 listings.
Wow. Holy cow.
And now we've kind of turned the tide a little bit. Like, the 1,200 listings were selling what we were selling with 500 listings before. So it actually is working out just like I planned. Like, I'm like, okay. So the sell-through rate is slower or lower. So there's one way to combat that to get the same sales. Just got to have more stuff listed.
Right.
So, yep. Which, by not doing the daily videos, actually have more time to list every day. So it's actually kind of working out, you know.
How is that working space-wise for your shed? I know you guys have a storage unit where you store listings too, right? So do you just have more in the storage? It's all in the shed?
Yeah, everything that's listed is in the shed.
So how different does that look now as opposed to when you only had like 500 active listings?
It's a little tight. It's a little tight on the bigger items, you know, of course. Mm-hmm. But we had a lot of space on the shelves in here.
Okay.
It's working out okay. Now, one thing we might have to do is go to like using comic boxes or banker boxes for like stuff that's like this big, you know, because like you're doing the shelf system now, right? As you put stuff on the shelves, if it doesn't fit all the way up on, like, you can have gaps on the shelf like that sometimes.
So, yep.
You know, that's we're okay so far. I think realistically, if we don't go too big with the items, I think we could probably fit a couple of thousand items in here pretty comfortably. So, what is your store at right now? As far as I'm not judging you like I was.
No, you're fine. For the longest time, my actives were around like 300, especially when I started this move, like back in May, because. Mm-hmm. I took a couple weeks, like, not listing, and I think I got down to, like, 250. It was really low. But my solds were really high. Like, I was, like, 1,000 solds for 90 days. My current active is 479 listings. My sold is 804 and 35,000. So, May was really low for me. May was only, like, 6,000 or something like that because I was focusing on getting moved. I was not listing, wasn't doing much of anything. June was good. I think it did like 11,000, and July has been really good. So, you know, at the end of the year, I'm hoping my 90 day total is, you know, 45-50K. Like, that's my goal, because I've also been making a really good effort to increase my average sale price.
And you're not,
like, for a while I was, what's that?
I'm sorry. You're not including local sales in that. That's just the eBay stuff you're looking at.
That's just eBay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's strong, man. That's really strong. That's way higher sales than you had like a year ago, say.
Yeah, a year ago I was struggling to hit 30K on my 90 day total. Like, I'd always hover around, like, you know, 27, 28. And I think it's when I made a really good effort to increase my average sale price. Because for a long time, I was hovering around $25, which is respectable. I think you need to be at least $20, $25 to kind of make it worth your time. But now I'm over 40.
Do you think so?
I think your average sale price should be about $20 or higher.
I don't.
In general, it just depends on what you're selling.
I know, depends on what you're selling. But I mean, I don't like, I understand what you're saying. But anytime you look, in my opinion, anytime you talk about money, average this, average that, if you're not also talking about time,
yeah,
then I don't think you've said anything. Like, because, okay, so I actually had this. I wrote this down because I was thinking about it because, okay, we've been listing a lot of lower cost stuff, mostly because I've been listing a lot of cards.
Yeah.
Sports cards. And
yep,
they have the eBay standard envelope thing, and you know, been taking advantage of that. So is it better to, let's say you list eight things for $200 in an hour, and let's say it's going to take an hour for you to pack and ship them when they sell, and let's say it's small things to where size isn't part of this equation, okay?
Yeah.
It's insignificant. And plus, you have like a million square feet anyway, so it's probably really not. So, and it's $400 for eight items. And let's say on the other hand, I list.
Like you said, 40, $200. Was it four? Oh. I think you said $200.
Okay, well, whatever. It's going to be the same.
Yeah, sure.
And let's say I do 40 $10 items that takes me the same amount of time to list. And takes me the same amount of time to fulfill when it sells. So if the money is the same, why is a higher average sales price better in that case if the money is the same for the time spent? I that's the thing that I've always thought. Like, I didn't.
No, you're right. I think I'm talking about specifically for me. Like, I know for a fact I used to sell things for $10 or $15 that weren't super quick, easy, you know, shipping. Like, sometimes they take a little bit of bubble wrap, this or whatever. There are tons of exceptions. Video games, cards, like you're talking about, like, that can be really quick listers and really quick shippers. So, yeah, in that case, or like replenishables. If somebody's got 1,000 of something, it took them one listing, and they're selling it for $10, then obviously that's good. And like, don't stress so much about your average sale price. I think something that I did a lot, or have been doing, is I'm doing more groupings of lots. I've been lotting so many things together. For instance, like if something will sell for 15 and I've got two similar, I'll just combine them and list them for 25, or like I'll do auction lots with things. So like, I got a bunch of these vintage Matchbox Lesney cars, and if they were like $20 and up, I would list individually. And anything below, I ran an auction. So I had 16 of them, started them at $1, and they went for 80-some dollars. I'm like, I'm thrilled with that. So I've been doing that a lot. And I think that's really been helping my sales.
I like that too. I do sell lots often, like comic books. I had like a couple of thousand comic books, and I figure out how many would fit in a medium flat rate, and that would be the lot. And I would, you know, put them up. And I love selling like that. But I think it's interesting when you start talking about this kind of thing, because obviously we all want to make, like, I'm saying the lower cost stuff, but when I look at my phone and I make a $150 sale, obviously that hits, I'm going to be like the kids, that hits a little different than, you know, taking all day to sell 15 things at $10 a piece.
Right.
It doesn't feel the same, you know? Now,
see, that's the other thing that comes into account is like, so we're talking about time invested with listing, shipping. The other thing is like, how many sales can you make in a day? Mm-hmm. So if your average sale price is $10 and you're only making 10 sales a day, it's not going to cut it. You know what I mean? Like, you need to have things that are going to sell well and consistently. So my sweet spot is I'm selling 10 to 12 items a day, average sale price $40. Like, if I can do that every day, I'll be over the moon happy. And like, that's my target for the stuff that I find, because I find a lot of those high dollar electronics, but then I find some cheaper, like $15-$20 toys as well. And like, for what I find, I need my average sale price to be where it is or higher. My target is $60, and I think that's a really happy medium for the things that I find and what I do. I think is kind of like where I want to be at a year from now.
So if you have, so obviously not every single item you find is going to be $60. I mean, we are talking
about average. Right, exactly, yeah.
But whenever you have like stuff that is less than $60, you have kind of a mindset where you're like, okay, I'm going to keep piling all this stuff into a lot till it's worth $60 or more.
Not necessarily. It because it's just a quick decision of like what we're talking about. How long is it going to take me to list it? How easy is it to ship? How much space does it take up? It's all those things. Like if I've got a Funko Pop that's $20, you guarantee I'm going to list it for, just put it on there. No, it's a no brainer. I'm not worried about if it's $60. Like it's more of like that, like $10 to $15 range. And I'm like, is this worth it to me? Like a lot of that stuff I put in my sale, like Funkos that would go for, you know, $8 or $10 plus shipping. I just threw them in my monthly sale and got $2 to $3 for them. And I was happy with it.
Yeah. So like this stack of cards, I prepped these. I did some research real quick earlier. It took me about a half hour, I guess. Okay. Yeah. $9 card, $10 card, $10 card, $9 card, $8 card, $6 card, $7 card. But part of this too is like, I wouldn't list just one card for this kind of money. This has got to be part of like a batch process where, okay, I'm going to get all my scans in here or my photos here of all of these. And then like the more you batch together, the less time it takes per item.
Yeah.
And you know, my typical sales day, usually I'll have something, one or two things. It's going to be $100 or more. And then I'll have another group of stuff that's like $20 to $40 sales. And then I'll have another group of stuff that's like $10, $15 sales. You know what I mean? So it's like a pretty good representation of all those different price points for me. But
so all those cards you just showed, since they're under $20 each, they'll go eBay standard envelope?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I just bought a lot of those. What are they called? Like the thin cardboard mailers that you were telling me that you use. I just bought a bunch of those. So yeah. when you put a card in that, you say you just take the top loader, wrap a piece of paper around it. Do you like tape the paper down? I know they're really specific about how thick it can be because it has to go through the post office's machine, just like a letter would.
Right. So yeah, actually I just polished off my last case of the last envelope of the first case of these. So I've shipped out 100 cards now using these. And I haven't had a single one come back yet.
That's great.
And I just take like the top loader, I wrap it in a piece of paper, I put a business card and I put a sticker in there, I seal it, and then I put the label on it, and they weigh either 2 or 3 ounces, usually 3 because these are a little heavy. And I haven't had the first complaint about damage, or I have had like 1 or 2 that didn't make it to the destination, which acceptable loss in my opinion, because that's like, you know, $10-$20 or whatever.
Sure, but, sure.
And I'm telling you, man, I was looking earlier. And some of these cards that I was comping, there are people that have sold them or are selling them, and they're still using like first class package. So a lot of your competition is, you know, on a $10 card, they're charging like $3-$4 shipping. If you're doing this instead with the eBay standard envelope thing, you've got a huge advantage on those guys. So
yeah, because it's only costing you 91 cents, right? Is the
for the
eBay standard envelope 3 ounce rate?
3 ounce, yep. That's it. Yeah. And it's 71 cents, I think, for 2 ounces.
51 cents for 1 ounce.
But yeah, I mean, and the cards, man, you can fly. You've done cards enough to know.
Yeah, I did a big collection a few months back, and I'm not going to get into details, but I just recently bought a lot of cards, and it's because of this eBay standard envelope. I'm kind of shifting my thought process, you know, on the cheaper items. Cause like they are quick listers or easy ships.
Okay, not going to get into a lot of details. All right, like, what details will you get into?
Not much. All I'll say is that I just bought a lot of cards. I filmed when I was buying them, and there's a video coming out.
Oh, you don't want to spoil your video.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the video. The video is, okay, you know, a surprise. So, yeah, okay, check out my video. You'll see it. It'll be out in a few days.
Okay, cool. I mean, everybody that's watching this is probably going to – they're going to watch your video whether you spoil it or not. But, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
How many – well, okay, I won't ask you anything about
it. You're asking too many questions. Don't ask too many questions.
Okay, I thought you had –
I will do a quick plug. Go ahead. Finish your sentence.
No, I just thought maybe there was some – like, there were, like, porno cards or something like that. I was like,
– No. It's baseball. It's boring. It's, you know, just baseball cards.
Okay.
I will do a quick plug. I'm going to be on Tommy's show Saturday night. That's the Tommy Bernard show, or the Tommy Bernard podcast, whatever he's calling it. That is Saturday, July 31st at 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you guys want to see that, go check out his channel. I'll put a link in the description of this podcast.
Yeah, be careful, man. Don't drink too much, because he will lead you down a path where it could be dangerous.
It's always dangerous. Did you forget what he did last time I was on the show? He played a video of somebody whose, you know, grandma died that didn't really die, and he was, you know, singing some song or whatever. Yeah, it's always crazy with Tom. So that's part of it. That's the fun.
Yeah. So if you want to see John ruin his YouTube career, go watch that show.
If I haven't ruined it already, man, this isn't going to ruin it. Trust me. I do want you guys to come to the live stream up with Tommy, because Lonnie, this is what Lonnie did. Okay. I was on Tommy's show 6 months ago, and Lonnie said, "Oh, that'd be a good idea. I'll be on too." So the very next week, Lonnie was on Tommy's show, and I had set the bar of like how many, you know, people tuned in or whatever, and Lonnie's like, I'm gonna beat John. So he had everybody get in the live stream.
Wait,
and then
I don't talk
rubbed
like
it in my face when he had more people on the live stream. He's like, I had 500, you know, people watching.
I don't talk like that.
I'm sorry. I just need to change the voice so that, you know.
You make me sound kind of dumb, like a dumb bully or something, like, I'm gonna have a bigger crowd than John. I did have a way bigger crowd than you though, by the way.
Well, I'm gonna beat that this time. That's
I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can. You can
even
try it.
Even if I do, I know the next week you're gonna, you know, get your army to come back on.
Actually, I'm not. My army probably does not have that much faith in me at the moment. All I can say is that about the whole YouTube thing is that I'm going through a YouTube crisis, and just give me some time, you know.
YouTube crisis.
Yeah, dude. Like, hey, look, if Simone Biles can step away from her team, you caught that, right?
I caught you comparing yourself to a world class athlete.
Yeah. Okay.
Trying to compare yourself to Simone Biles? Finish your sentence here.
I'm just saying, like, she stepped away from her team, and I was expecting people to say, you're a quitter, or you're a traitor, or you screwed your teammates, you know? But no, I go and they're like, she's brave. There needs to be more of this talk about, you know, mental health, and, you know, good for her, and she did the right thing. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome that, you know, they're having that approach. Nobody will say anything negative. Have you noticed this? Because I've been looking.
I haven't been paying attention. I'm so far removed from the news and everything. The Olympics have been going on for, like, I feel like almost a week, and I was like, oh shoot, the Olympics are going on.
I love
it. It was weird because, yeah, well, I caught a little bit of it somewhere, and it said Tokyo 2020, and I was like, did they all jump the DeLorean and go back in time? Because it sure as hell is not 2020. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I think they probably just wanted to keep it like even numbers, because Olympics have always been.
That's so stupid.
Like,
that's so dumb. It's 2021. That's when it took place. Just think about how the record books, if they're actually going to call it 2020, And then, you know what I mean? Like, how messed up is that going to be? Just do what is. You're in 2021. Call it 2021.
Anyway, Simone, I don't know if you saw it or not, but she made this awful vault, I think it was. It was really bad. And then she looked distraught, and then she went back to the sideline and said, I'm out. Because she needed a little time.
Good for her. So, that's great. So you're saying you're like Simone Biles, and you had a bad vault making a bad YouTube video, and now you needed a break.
Yeah, except I never achieved the success she did. I'm not as talented as she is. Right. And I'm not really that many people care.
So the comparison begins and ends with you saying you're out. That's your whole comparison to Simone Biles.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the mental health aspect of YouTube is a real thing, though. It really is.
It totally is. It totally is. Ever since, like, even before this, like, so I've been doing the, you know, what sold videos, you know, I sold this for a long, long time, like years I've been doing that in different forms of fashions. Mm-hmm. And I was editing a video maybe 3 weeks ago or a month ago. And man, when I edit those videos, I put myself to sleep. They're very long. They're very hard to edit. They're hard to shoot. And I was just in the middle of it. And I'm like, can't do this. Can't do it today. And I didn't finish it, and I just didn't do the video. And it's been like 3 weeks now, and I haven't been filming those videos. And like, I just wanted to take a break from them. I might bring them back in some kind of different way eventually. But yeah, like, I kind of had the same moment of like, got to step away for a little bit from this. Like, it's, you know, it's too much of the hamster wheel. And, you know, I would get a lot of comments on those videos too. You know, like, they were very dry. They kind of ran their course. I think a lot of people were tired of them. So it's like, you know what?
Well, how can they not be dry? All you're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. You're just showing stuff. Like, so this sold for $10. You know, it's hard to polish that product and make it entertaining.
I still love reselling. It's just, I still like reselling. I like the things that I can do because of reselling. I like the flexibility and everything. I'm a little bit over talking about it though. You know, I think maybe there's just a point where it's enough for, you know, like if somebody's just starting up now and they're like really, really excited, look, I bought this, I sold this, you know, it's still fresh for them. It's not fresh for me anymore. I don't get that excited about it anymore. And I stopped liking watching those kind of videos, and yet I was still making them. So it's like, I Shed Flips is probably going to get about a video a week from me on average, and I'm going to do other stuff. So,
yeah, fair enough, man.
Crisis though. Me and Simone, we got this. I can't hear you. I don't know why.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I hear you now.
Weird. Yeah, I heard like a click. I was just saying I am trying to do one extra garage show video a week. So I've been doing 3 garage show videos a week.
That's a lot.
Doing the daily. Yeah. Well, I go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So
you're still doing like one video equals one day of garage sales.
Yeah, I don't have the creative outlet. Like, I don't know. Mentally, I can't wrap my head around like chopping up one day into multiple videos. Like, I don't know. I just
is working so well that
I like going out on a day and it's like, hey, it's Thursday, let's go. You know, here's what I found. Like, take it or leave it. This was the whole day. Like, I don't have
Don't you mean look what I found?
Yeah. I'd say 99% of the people don't get that reference.
I remember I was screwing with you.
Highway 70 sale? Yeah. It was like the first one, the Highway 70 sale. we're probably going back to like 2017, 2018, probably.
Yeah, John would buy something and I would get him and I would say, look what I found. I don't know why I would do a Mickey Mouse type voice, but I did. Look what I found.
Anybody who doesn't know what Lonnie's talking about, I had the online auction business called Look What I Found, and I brought my humongous picker van on that trip and just said, look what I found on the side. And Lonnie was just relentlessly tormenting me anytime I would find something. He would just say, look what I found, in his little Mickey Mouse voice.
Oh, man, that van got so much attention.
It did, for sure. A lot of people would comment, yes and no. I missed the luxury of buying literally anything I wanted and fitting it in there. That was nice. But, you know, I had to have a second vehicle for it. So another thing that's happened since we've been gone, I traded in my minivan. I got a Toyota 4Runner. And the reason I did is because it can tow. So it's an SUV. It's got a third row. We can fit all the kiddos. And I got a trailer. I got a 6x10 trailer. So because I'm constantly going on big buys.
6x10 enclosed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got a 6x10 instead of the 6x12 because this one actually has a 6.5-foot ceiling. So I can stand in it with some clearance still.
Okay. So
yeah,
I'm curious, like, what kind of gas mileage are you getting with that? Or how do you even know?
Towing the trailer, I haven't tracked it enough yet. I've only towed it maybe 4 different times. But yeah, towing the trailer, not great gas mileage, unfortunately. But I go on a lot of – sorry, that's my alarm going off. I go on a lot of bulk buys, and when I had the minivan, I just couldn't buy as much. Like, I had to really be calculated with what I was buying, but now I've got the space, and I have tons of buying opportunities. I've already gone on 2 huge bulk buys, and I filled that trailer, so –
You have a ramp?
Happy with it.
Ramp?
Yeah, it's got a ramp. Yep.
Is it like built into the door to where it comes down or?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, man. I need to get one.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Get one. Are you bringing it?
No. So next week we're going to the 127 sale. If you guys don't know, it's the world's longest garage sale. But yeah, it's like a 7-hour drive for us. I do not want to tow that thing 7 hours and then up through all the hills and mountains of Tennessee. It just, that doesn't sound fun to me. I don't want to do that.
Are y'all taking the 4Runner there?
Yeah, we are. We're just going to drive separate. So my brother-in-law, Brennan, the Curious Picker, check out his channel. Him and his wife are going down too, but they're going to drive their SUV. We're driving ours just so that we've got more room to haul stuff back.
Yeah, right on.
But yeah, the 4Runner's got a good amount of space because I can lay those seats down and put a pretty good amount of stuff in there, and gauging on how much we normally find, I think will be enough space.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally these trips, I mean, we are trying to buy stuff, but I don't think any of us are going like all hardcore buying.
Kevin always does.
Yeah. But he only has one. He's got one speed when it comes to that.
Yeah, Kevin, the Tennessee picker, always goes with us, and he always buys anything and everything in sight. That guy picks circles around us on these trips. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm usually, like, chilling.
Yeah.
I still want to buy stuff, though. But actually, we have been listing so hard, like, we put a major, major dent in our back stock. So, yeah, we might be kind of aggressive on this trip. Buying ones.
That's great. So I think that's about all I got on my list, and I know we need to wrap this thing up here.
Yeah.
What else have you got you want to mention, Lonnie?
We covered everything.
Awesome.
Covered everything on my list.
Look at that. It's like riding a bike. We haven't done this in 6 weeks and easy peasy.
Maybe we'll do it. Thanks to American Bubble Boy. We'll go ahead and plug them too. There is a link down below if you want to help support the podcast. John, you buy your bubble wrap. Where do you buy it?
American Bubble Boy.
I buy mine at American Bubble Boy. This is not a situation where we're telling you to do some kind of VPN thing or take some class or buy some oddball thing that we would never use ourselves. We actually both buy this with our own money and use it. It's a good product. It's fast. Good people. They got locations all over the country, so they get it to you quick. And yeah, it's good stuff. American Bubble Boy, link down below. Thanks again, Joel, for the support. And thanks to everyone who has bought already. It's been a bunch of y'all. It really makes it a lot more it means we can do this podcast during the day.
Yep. Yeah, that was something that was always a stickler for us, like doing the podcast at night to not interrupt with work. Because this, you know, this whole thing doesn't really make money. It's kind of just like a passion thing. But yeah, Joel made that possible to where, you know, this is part of the business now. So we are super grateful for Joel and American Bubble Boy. And we are really grateful for you guys supporting us by buying that bubble wrap. So thank you so much, guys. Seriously.
Yeah. So, what was I going to say? Oh, I remember a couple of times in the past, like you were like, dude, can we do this during the day? And I'm like, bro, during the day, I got to get paid.
Yeah.
Like if we're going to do it, it's going to be at night. It's going to be for fun. And, you know, of course that kind of sucks because, you know, you're taking time away from your family to go talk about reselling at night when you've been doing reselling all day. So this works out a lot better. So
for sure.
Go buy you some American Bubble Boy bubble wrap if you need bubble wrap.
Yep. Link down below in the description. That's it, guys. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time.
Bye, y'all.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. You better not try standing my way as I'm walking out the door.